Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Pump Site Geek, looking forward to U of A and Xavier. We're going to reach back in the archive a bit in terms of players for U of A. Caleb Tarzewski is scheduled to join us from Italy. Now, Zeus, as he was known with U of A, very popular Wildcat, and we figured let's go halfway around the world and track him down and pull him away from the vino and the pasta and all that stuff because he's playing overseas. I don't know about he's playing, but he is professionally doing the game over there. He was with Oklahoma. Eric, you actually saw him, if I remember correctly. You said you saw Zeus play in a game recently?
I did. When Oklahoma played the Northern Arizona Suns up in Prescott Valley, the one D-League game I went to, he was playing in it.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting, yeah.
We'll see you here in a second. We'll get back to Eric in a minute. So he actually is in the D-League and then is over in Italy. So U of A and Xavier. Look, Xavier is the 11th seed. They're the only double-digit seed left in the tournament. Now, whether or not they were seeded too low, as some people like to say, doesn't really matter to me. U of A should win this game. And we're going to talk later on about Sean Miller facing his former school for the second time in 3 years in the Sweet 16. It's a pretty compelling story. Xavier has nobody that can match up with Lauri Markkanen. And so as you go through this, it's not that hard. But the other games are compelling. Like, this is a really cool to me. The storylines make for a very, very intriguing Sweet 16 as next week we get ready for the Final Four here in Arizona. So the Wildcats, in my view, should advance. The Wildcats should meet the winner of Gonzaga in West Virginia. Is Bob Huggins a Hall of Fame coach? Some people say absolutely, no question about it. We'll see. Mark Few has done a terrific job at Gonzaga. But to me, it should be U of A and the Zags going head-to-head once again, as those two games are being played in San Jose. And again, the tip-off for U of A is just after 7 o'clock. So U of A and Xavier. On the other side, you have Michigan. What a terrific story that is. John Beilein has a team that we've heard the story about the plane and the runway and how it brought them all together and so on and so forth. You can't make enough out of that. You have Michigan coming all the way back as a program, meeting Oregon. And the Ducks, we thought that once they lost Boucher that they were going to be done. And now here's Oregon in the Sweet 16, another Pac-12 school. It's been a great year for the Pac-12. And the last game on the schedule is Kansas and Purdue. So here's the Jayhawks. Some people aren't sure that they're as good as they're seeded. I'm going to go through all these games with Jimmy Vaccaro. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro on from the South Point. We'll check in with Jimmy here in a bit. And we'll do that coming up as the show moves on the Sweet 16 games. You have Butler in North Carolina. You have South Carolina and Baylor. That's a game where I don't know if people out here know too much about either side. You have the Wisconsin-Florida game. And then you have UCLA and Kentucky. So Friday night, UCLA and Kentucky. And when you have UCLA and Kentucky, the storylines are pronounced. You have the Lonzo Ball story. We'll get into that a little bit later on with LeBron being upset with Lonzo's dad. Now LeBron's gotten involved in this. But beyond that, you also have Steve Alford. Now, Eric and I have been talking about Steve Alford and if he leaves UCLA to take the head coaching job at Indiana, what does that mean for UCLA? Jay Williams from ESPN earlier in the week brought up that he believes Earl Watson will leave the Suns and that Earl Watson would be the next coach at UCLA. If we were to go through the reasons as to why Earl Watson would leave, and I had some people that really, Suns fans are really upset when I said UCLA is a better job than the Suns is for Earl Watson. You have to understand where Earl Watson was coming from. Earl Watson, quote, this was AZ Central. There's no doubt that I love my school. It took me out of a poverty situation and gave me hope. The school is an amazing place. I feel like it saved me. But I also feel like former Memphis coach Hubie Brown saved me in another way. Playing for the Utah Jazz, they were there during a difficult part of my personal life, and they helped me a ton. And then, of course, the San Antonio Spurs after the death of my brother. The love they gave me is what I needed most, and that love is genuine. So you have different points in your life where people and groups come into your life and none of them are family and they impact you for the positive. Now, this quote that he gave to AZ Central is not a surprise coming from Earl Watson. A, B, there's not one mention of the Suns in it, and that's not a swipe at the Suns. C, it doesn't take much to figure out that if somebody came after him associated with any one of these three organizations, that he would have to, at a minimum, strongly consider it. Let's go back on the UCLA part of this quote. There's no doubt that I love my school. It took me out of a poverty situation and gave me hope. The school's an amazing place. I feel like it saved me. Just that one quote of Earl Watson towards UCLA. To me, if UCLA picks up the phone and calls, and I put this on Twitter last night, that when Earl Watson says he hasn't spoke to anybody, just brush that stuff off. And if you're in our industry, please dig deeper. And well, as your representative has your agency, has a search firm, has an attorney, has a lawyer, anybody spoke to UCLA. And eventually you'll get it pared down to either they're going to say, well, yes, somebody did, or they're going to just have to lie and say, no, nobody did. And I'm not calling Earl Watson a liar at this point, but Jay Williams just doesn't make stuff up like that. So then let's take it to the next step. Let's just say, and Eric, you want to jump in on this one? Let's just say that Earl Watson decides that he wants to take the UCLA job. Because I think Alford's going to go. There's just too much stuff blowing around back in Indianapolis. People that I've talked to and people in the Midwest whose opinions I really respect on the college basketball front, that Steve Alford's not going to not take the Indiana job. It's going to happen. And the minute that UCLA gets eliminated, if they lose this weekend to Kentucky and all that, that would be the end of Steve Alford's run at UCLA. That would then leave the Suns with an opening. We would have a job search here in Phoenix. Later in the show, I'm going to get into all the insides and outs about whether this would be a good, attractive job or not. Some of you that are just purple and orange, that don't look at the big picture, that are in the middle of the forest, would say it's an NBA job. How could you even suggest that it would not be a terrific opportunity and a terrific place for somebody to go to? They'd be an NBA head coach. And you're right on that. You're right. Is it a great job? Is being the head coach of the Phoenix Suns a great job? Are you dealing with some instability? Do you have a nice young roster? Yeah, you have a nice young roster in April of 2017. You don't know if you're going to have a great roster in April of 2019. You know if you're going to come in here and get your backside shot off. That's what happens to most NBA coaches. But I've got some names I'm going to run by you. Assuming, and we know what happens when you assume, but that's what I do on this show at times, that when you start to connect dots, and this dot's not a big reach, Alford leaves, Earl goes there, Suns have an opening. So who would the people be that the Suns would be pursuing? That is the big question. And I'll throw a couple of those names by you in a bit. Switching gears over on the NFL side. So the NFL owners meetings are here in the Valley next week. Not only next week do we have a Final Four, but we also have the NFL owners meetings. We also have the end of spring training. Again, this is the busiest market in America when it comes to sports that people don't know about. NFL owners meetings are next week at the Biltmore. And today it has come out that the Raiders' move to Vegas is probably going to be front and center. But so are some other rule changes that they're considering. The ejection of players for targeting that we've seen in the college level, the NFL is now going to consider that. NFL is supposed to be like the peak of sport, right? And now they're getting to a point where if a guy is targeting, we're going to throw you out of a game rather than make it just a 15-yard penalty, potentially. They're also going to look at celebrations and whether or not celebrations are going to be part of the game or if they're going to have to dial those back. So we're going to get to that, too, as the show moves on. And lastly, here in the first segment, LeVar Ball. So the dad is like the dad in Coming to America that owns the McDonald's franchises. That's the only way I can put it. I should have looked that up. He just has this deal where there's no filter. He has really no idea. And the latest now is he involved LeBron James's kids and his kids. So LeBron had to go off on this. LeBron's in the middle of a bunch of stuff right now. LeBron is of the opinion that the reason the NBA is upset with players not playing on these Saturday night ESPN games or ABC games is because of him. I'm the one that started it, he said yesterday. I'm the one decided I needed a game off. So LeVar Ball's in the middle of this, and he brings up his LeVar's kids and LeBron's kids, and LeBron had to say, don't ever bring my kids up in a discussion, which is smart. LeBron's kids have been put out there, though. LeBron's son is on an AAU team that is high-end. There are mixtapes of him out there as a 12-year-old. He has been offered a scholarship already by Kentucky and Duke. That has gotten out, too, as a 12-year-old. So you cannot have it both ways. If you want some attention to be on your kids, but not too much, cannot have it both ways. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We'll take a time out here back with more as we continue on getting ready for U of A and Xavier in the Sweet 16. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro with us later in the show. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for being with us. What's fun about doing this show every day is we're not afraid. We're just not. So we're trying to Skype or FaceTime Caleb Tarzewski in from Italy. Caleb's having a hard time hearing us. Where are we at on this one, Eric? Do you think this is going to happen?
We're at, he's supposed to be on right now, and he's not on.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You don't have to be mad about it.
It's just frustrating. I've been working on this for 35 minutes. It shouldn't be that difficult. More mad at myself than anything.
He can hear us.
We've made international calls from the studio before, and there's something that I'm just missing.
Yeah, but he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, it's not like
it's technology.
I'm not calling California. I'm calling the other side of the world. Yeah. So these things happen.
He's awake.
Yeah, it's 6:15 at night there.
No, he's at dinner. We're probably interrupting his dinner, which is fine. He wants to do it. So
we tried FaceTiming him, but he could not hear. You could hear him, but he could not hear you back.
Got it. I mean, I'm just here in a studio, so
which
I don't know.
It would be difficult to do an interview.
That's fine.
One person can't hear the other.
It's fine. I'm fine with this. It's technology.
Yeah.
Go figure it out. And so Eric's working on Caleb Tarzewski.
We call it efforting.
Efforting. He's efforting Caleb Tarzewski. It's not even efforting because he's got him. It's just Caleb's in a space where he can't hear us. We can hear him. So we're working through that, which is fine. Not one of these people that, behind the scenes stuff. No, that's what we do. I can go through some other stuff that I'm very passionate about today, too. I'm fine with this. So I do want to talk about, go back on the Suns part. And I may get interrupted in mid-rift if we get Caleb all straightened out, but it's going to happen, I think, unless I'm just flat wrong on this. And Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, Easier from Vegas, coming up in about 30 minutes. So if Earl Watson is to leave, Robert Sarver, there was once upon a time, where a very wise man who owned a sports franchise and was very successful in the sports franchise. And I liked sitting in his office and picking his brain because this sports owner was very secure in his skin, was not somebody that looked at us as evil, that didn't trust us, that didn't have faith in himself. This person had a ton of confidence in his ability, and he's gone on and done very well in life. This person told me, when I first got into this business, some of my mentors in the sports industry told me that I needed to put a couple of names on a list and have them in the top drawer of my desk at work, because you never know when you're going to lose your coach. The minute that you hire a new coach, this person told me, you need to go up to your office and sit down and then think, if this person left tomorrow or anything happened where you got sideways with this person, you've got to have five names. And this very wise, very smart sports executive owner not only had five names of coaches, I should say. He also had five names of general managers, too. So this person was already not on to plan B, like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do here? No, this person was already getting in position to hire the next coach whenever it became available. Could be a year, could be 3 years, could be 5 years, could be 10 years. And he constantly updated that list. He would take it out of his desk drawer. He actually showed me the card because I would not say who the other names were that were on the list. So I've always found that and stuck that in the back of my head here when it comes to seeing sports executives in this day and age and how they go about their business and if they're truly prepared. Most owners in sports, and I've covered the Donald Sterlings of the world in San Diego, and I've covered the Jerry Colangelos of the world here in Arizona. So I think I've covered both ends of the spectrum. I've sat across from Michael Bidwell. Michael Bidwell and I barely talk now, which is fine. I don't have anything against Michael. It's just how things have worked out. When you sit behind a microphone and you show up in person and you point out inadequacies, sometimes people don't want to hear it that you've also pointed out all the good stuff they've done. It's fine. Some people like to just go through life not wanting to move on, I guess is the best way to put it. And it's fine. I've seen the incompetence of the Coyotes ownership going on and on and on. And I don't mean about this present day group of ownership. It's just the owners that have come and gone over at the wrecking ball that is the Coyotes. I've sat and visited with the Diamondbacks owner. And I think he has a very good heart. And I think his head's really into it. I just think sometimes it's you gotta have people around you that really are all in. And sometimes you've got to roll the dice and let those people do their thing without them coming to you for everything. All that to say is, if Robert Sarver loses Earl Watson tomorrow, I do think that the base of the Suns is close to being built. Look, it's easy in the NBA to get this thing turned around in a hurry. I think it is easy if you do it right. When you screw it up like the Suns have done here by going through multiple general managers and coaches and meddling and front office people coming and going and a revolving door from top to bottom in an organization, you're going to have a mess. You just are. So is the Suns a good job? I asked that earlier in the show. Let me throw this name at you. If Earl Watson leaves, if you're Robert Sarver, would you pursue Sean Miller? I bring this up because I'm going to write about this too. Sean's name surfaced around the Lakers. And to think that Sean Miller's never been contacted about going to the NBA, I think you'd be kidding yourself. Yeah, Brad Stevens left very early after his run at Butler to go to the Celtics. Billy Donovan is over at Oklahoma City. Some guys are cut out to do the NBA thing. Has Sean Miller done everything he can do in Tucson? Yeah, I've sat here and pointed out how he's never been to a Final Four. That doesn't mean he's not a good coach. I believe that he should be in a Final Four this year with the team that he has. From my view, he's in a position where he should be in a Final Four with this group. But if the Suns' position comes open, and you are in a space where you are approached by, let's be honest here about Robert. Robert's got allegiance to Tucson. I don't think that should have anything at all to do with it, but in Robert's case, may be the case. I'm not saying that that's the only name that the Suns should look at or consider, but I do think if the opening does come here, that maybe that is a direction that the Suns should go, at least to explore it. You have to kick the tires on everybody. I don't think with the way this roster is constructed, with all these kids, that it would make sense at all for the Suns to go down a path to bring in a veteran coach, a guy that's been around for a long period of time. I think you have to have someone who is relatable. Now, there's been the people that have said, well, if you look at the roster and you look at Bledsoe and you look at Booker and you look at Tyler Ulis, you should go pursue John Calipari because he's used to all these guys and so on and so forth. If Robert believes that this team is close to being ready to compete in a big way, because right now they're not. You can say they're fun to watch and all that stuff. I get it. Because I do think they're interesting to watch. I wouldn't say that they're four quarters fun to watch, 2 hours and 20 minutes worth watching. I wouldn't say that. But I do believe that they're getting closer. My point is, if the job comes open in Phoenix And just the way that this is lined up, it all comes down to if Steve Alford takes the job and leaves it at UCLA and goes to Indiana, and a year ago he's going to get fired. That, to me, seems a no-brainer. If Indiana hires somebody else and UCLA is closed, then Earl Watson's going to be here. But if Indiana takes Steve Alford, it would be a stunner to me that Earl Watson would stick around in Phoenix. I just don't see where that would be something that would make the most sense. So I'm going to throw that name out there, and you can hate on me all you want on it, but I think that they should consider every last option if, in fact, the Suns' job does come open. Robert Sarver should have five names at the top of his desk, or Ryan McDonough should have five names at the top of his desk. They just should. You should not be in a space where, if their job were to come open, you have to go do the search firm deal and all that. I don't get that. I don't see, if you're really engaged in the process, why you would need to go down that path. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt, back with more after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt. We go from our Scottsdale studios now over to Italy, where Caleb Tarzewski is FaceTiming in with us. Zeus, where are you? By the way, thanks for being with us. Where are you right now in Italy?
So I'm in the middle of the city of Milan, Italy.
City of Milan, Italy, and you are playing for, give the fans who you're playing with, what your role is, and so on and so forth. Fill in the blanks about why you're in Italy now, Caleb.
So I came over here about a week ago. I got an opportunity to play for the EA7 Emporio Armani Olimpia Milano team over here in Milan. They're a EuroLeague team, and they're one of the best teams in all of Europe. And, you know, it's really been a blessing and an honor to get chosen to be a part of an organization like this.
That's cool. Now, how did that come about? Just a call from your agent saying you want to go to Italy? Or how did that come about?
You know, surprisingly, that's pretty much exactly what happened. You know, I was fortunate enough to go to camp with the Thunder this year. After camp, I got cut and I played for their D League team. You know, it's been a really great year in terms of learning and development. And, you know, it was a great situation there. And then sort of out of the blue, you know, one day my agent called me and he said, Caleb, there's an opportunity and, we think that you should go for it. And, you know, obviously it was tough. It was a tough decision. You know, I was comfortable with where I was and you know, how everything was going. And, you know, it was the first time actually in Europe was with the Thunder in preseason for 6 days. So it was definitely I knew it was going to be an adventure. But, you know, I said, let's just go for it. And I'm really happy that I did. It's been a great couple weeks out here.
Yeah. So you've been there, what, you said 10 days, 12 days. How many days total have you been in Italy so far?
Shoot, it might not even be that much. I got out here last Thursday, I believe, Thursday morning. So it hasn't even been a week yet, I guess. It feels like a little bit longer with the jet lag and everything. But, you know, I've been out here for a couple of days and just trying to get a feel for the organization and the team. And it's been good.
All right, so the obvious question is, you're not blowing your training regimen in terms of eating. You're in Italy. You got to just, like, be pounding the Italian food, right? Or no, you're being disciplined.
You know, I'm trying to be as disciplined as possible. You know, I really think that that's important to do. But, you know, I told my parents before I came out here, I'm nervous I'm going to go out there and come back fat. And when I was asking everyone about, you know, whether or not I should go to Italy, that was really the first thing everyone brought up was the food. You know, it's crazy how much Italians, you know, they love their bread and their pasta. You know, there's always wine with dinner and coffee for dessert. So, you know, it's really the best of both worlds. And, you know, it's just been a great experience. And thank God they're doing a great job of keeping me lean and ready to go on the court.
Yeah, that's great. Caleb Tarzewski is with us over in Italy, joining us here on the show, Sports 360 AZ with Brad Sussmatt. What do you see your role long-term being with this franchise?
You know, I think it's similar to my role on every other team I've ever been with. You know, it's just to go in, kind of provide that physical presence, rebound, defend, you know, score around the basket, you know, kind of just do what I do. You know, that's just do whatever I can to help a team win. And, you know, I think that's really what they're searching for on their team this year. And I think that's really what I do well. So nothing out of the usual.
You going to stay there long term, or do you think this is just a short little cup of coffee?
You know, for right now, it's just a deal for the end of the season. You know, the next couple of months, if we make it all the way to the Italian League Championship, that'll be in the end of June, and then I'll more than likely come back for summer league and give the NBA another shot. Mm-hmm. But if not, then you know, this is definitely a place that I can picture myself being long term. I mean, the organization's unbelievable. The city's beautiful. Obviously, we just talked about the food. There's nothing better than that. So it's definitely a place that I can see myself being for a while.
Is the money better in Italy than in the D League, Caleb?
I think even if you were a school teacher, the money would be better than the deal. but you know, not everything in life is about money.
Sure.
You know, obviously everyone that's a basketball player and plays professionally, you know, it's a job. But at the same time, you know, people say, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And, right. You know, that's really what I want to do. You know, I want to have that feeling that I'm still playing the game, and I'm 24 years old, and that's really what's important to me. So money aside, you know, it doesn't really matter.
That's a good answer, and that's well put. All right, let's get into the Wildcats now. So you've been traveling, you've been going, but did you watch them in the first round by chance in some little corner pub in Italy? And what do you think about their run so far here in March Madness?
You know, before I left, they played in the Pac-12 tournament, and obviously I think they're hitting their stride. You know, I love the team this year, the grit that they have, the kind of resolve that they play with. You know, that's just such a Coach Miller team, and, you know, I think he's done a really good job of coaching the young guys. I had the opportunity to work out with them this summer, and, you know, they were obviously freshmen coming into the season, but I think he's done a great job of developing everyone, kind of, you know, helping the team transition with Alonzo coming back. And, you know, they're really hitting their stride at the perfect time of the year. The past couple of days, I mean, with the time change, we were just talking about it. If there's a 7 o'clock game on the Pacific Coast, for me, it's like 4 or 5 in the morning. So I haven't been able to watch the games live, but I've been following as much as I can. And, you know, obviously I'm bear down for life and go Cats. So I'm hoping that this is the year.
When you worked out last summer, did you work out with Lauri Markkanen at all? And if so, did you think he was going to be as good of a player as he's turned out to be for the U of A?
So it's kind of funny. He was going through a similar situation as I am right now when he first got out there, when I was there. So I was there for his first 2 or 3 days in the States. And, you know, I don't think he worked out the first couple of days. He was kind of getting his feet under him, kind of figuring everything out on campus. I did have an opportunity to practice with him one day. And, you know, he's an unbelievable basketball player. He's so skilled. He's athletic. He's physical. He's strong. He works hard. And, you know, I could see that work ethic and you know, how important it was to him. And so, you know, whenever you see that in a player, I think that shows that they're going to be something special. And that's what he's done a great job of this season.
That's cool. Anything else you want to add about over in Italy so far? I'm just fascinated that your path, you know, you were in Tucson, Zeus, for a long time, and now your path has taken you to Oklahoma and to Italy, all in a span of a year. You could not have scripted it.
No, it's definitely been a journey, and that's how life is sometimes. You know, one second you're comfortable with where you are, and the next second you're somewhere completely different. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it enjoyable. I'll tell you one thing: the drivers over here, they're very interesting. There's traffic circles all over the place. Everyone's merging constantly, and all the cars are so small. It's like driving go-karts around. it's been it's probably been one of my favorite things since being over here. I feel like I'm an F1 Formula One racer, and it's been pretty funny.
That's cool. Well, look, I appreciate your time and the visit. It's dinner time over there. Go out and hit it, but not too hard. And thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show, and bear down, go Cats.
It's Caleb Tarzewski with us over in Italy tonight. Appreciate his time and insight. Sports360AZ.com. Up next, we go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort. That is next. Stay with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show on Fox Sports airs again tonight, 14 airings a week. Appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports. By the way, over on the website, all of our content from this week, Caleb Tarzewski, the former Wildcat over in Italy, Steve Lapis with CBS, other analysts that we've had on this week on the show, it's all there for you. And now we turn attention to what everybody's passionate about when it comes to March Madness. Yes, winners and losers, but also, of course, the South Point Casino Resort and Jimmy Vaccaro, who joins us now. Check in Vegas. How has March Madness fared in Vegas, Jimmy?
Bigger and better than ever, my friend. I don't know what to tell you. It's the same old thing, but I met a lot of old friends and made a lot of new friends over the entire weekend. So it's right there as far as like anything that we do. And yes, we surpassed easily what it'll be a total handle for the entire tournament, which will probably be about 2.5 times what we do for Super Bowl. So right on track of obviously, it's got some great games coming up this weekend. I know where you'll be, my friend, in San Jose, but you're a little tough there. Xavier's pretty good. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, what do you make out of Xavier, Arizona? What's the view in Vegas, Jimmy?
Well, the view in Vegas right now is Arizona is a steady 7.5-point favorite. A couple of smarts jump in and took the 7.5. They probably should wait or probably go up. I can tell you that 7.5 has been pretty steady. The total is 144, right where it should be, but we will be inundated with Arizona parlays, the same as we will, you know, with the other big favorite being Kansas there. And, excuse me, Kansas. And it's just, I don't know what to tell you. Quickly, my friend, I'll just run them down real quick. Kansas opened 4.5. They're up to 5. Michigan, a lot of money on Michigan early. Michigan was 1, now 1.5. Gonzaga just went to 3.5 over West Virginia. Mm. You're still steady at 7.5. Florida, 1.5. A little bit more on Wisconsin. And Baylor is 3 over South Carolina. Kentucky, the biggest move. Kentucky, we've taken about 30,000. UCLA was 1.5. Now the game is pick'em. And the North Carolina game over Butler is 7.5. And those two favorites will go up. You and North Carolina, make no mistake about that.
Which one surprises you most as you're looking at these numbers?
UCLA. I thought that we would get more money on UCLA. But you know what, my friend? We still got a couple of days to go there. UCLA has been a darling. They were a big, big move on the other day when they beat Cincinnati and took a lot of the win away from us. I thought we would see more UCLA. But remember, the smarts jumped in, but you have a public team. We're now rebounding. Alford's maybe turning it around a little bit. I still believe that the game will go up and we'll still need Kentucky for what I would consider a big bet. But that's the only one that really surprised me. I thought we'd see more early money on UCLA, but that's why we're just bookmakers. We just write the tickets.
There you go. Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort odds maker. Thanks, Jimmy, as always. Stay well.
All right, buddy.
It's Jimmy up in Vegas. Always good to check in with him. So, Eric, let's go back here on this Caleb Tarzewski thing. So he was great. This was not heavy lifting for you, was it? It was an idea that I had a couple days ago. We should go pursue Caleb Tarzewski. Zeus, great Wildcat. Fans like hearing Wildcat. You're like, sounds good. We get it set up. And, you know, there was a little bit of heavy lifting today, but it was well, it paid off.
We've had international guests on the show today. I've booked people from other countries.
Yeah.
Specifically, I remember we had Mike DeCourcy on from Brazil during the World Cup, I think.
Right.
And for some reason, I was not able to figure out the phones. So Jared Nielsen and the crack staff here at Skyview decided to grab mixers, really long cables, thanks to our friends at FaceTime and your cell phone. And we made it happen.
Here's the thing, guys. We're pretty open about this. We let you see the open heart surgery. You know, if we screw up, we screw up. That's just how it goes. We're in a day and age where it's never picture perfect, And today was picture perfect.
Well, today was a lemons to lemonade. It had a happy ending, but
you were nervous.
Those things happened. I wasn't nervous.
You were scared.
I was more frustrated because making a phone call should not be that difficult.
You're
especially
kicking people out of the studio.
Especially when Google tells me what to do. I like when I'm trying to talk and you're clearly just not listening to, or interested in anything
what?
I'm saying. What? Exactly. Okay, this is me turning off my mic.
All right, there you go. Good job. LeVar Ball. So I don't know if LeVar – at first I was amused by LeVar Ball because I've seen crazy dads before in club basketball. I've seen crazy dads in AAU circuits. I've seen it. I've had crazy dads that have written me notes about how their son is the best this or that or their daughter is the best this or that, and then you see the daughter or the son, and they don't care, and they have two left feet. It's just dad living through son or daughter. I could go through all different scenarios. If I get a dad who calls me and he played – professional sports in some way, shape, or form, and they have daughters. Those poor daughters, man, for the most part, those poor daughters, they just get, whew, it's harsh on them. A guy like LeVar Ball, though, dragging LeBron James kids into it just tells me he really has no filter and no idea what he's talking about. You should never, ever, ever, ever compare your kid to somebody else's kid. And LeBron had every right to step in and say, don't bring my kids into the equation when LeVar Ball was talking about LeBron's kids and his kids. That's just, that is crossing the line in a big way. And I don't sit here with everything with LeBron and just bow down. I think that this whole deal of him saying that he's the reason why the NBA is upset about players taking nights off, that's disrespectful to Steph Curry, and that's more mind games about that I'm this and I'm that. You don't need to go that rank. But LeBron is absolutely right to go after LeVar Ball. Absolutely right. And I'm just kind of done with him. I thought about having LeVar Ball on the show, and I still may do it if UCLA gets to the finals next week, but when you start saying my kids are better than this guy's kids, just shut up. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. We are Arizona-centric. Pro college, high school college pro. Makes no difference to me. Television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. You can check out once again Brad Sussmatt's Football AZ with four airings tonight, a couple of more tomorrow, and a couple overnight. Thanks for being with us.